This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, August 4th, 2024. Life verses, God embraces you.
Well, good morning, Connection Church. Here in the sanctuary, there at home. Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So today we start a new series, Life Verses. Life verses are those verses that, you kind of fall back on in your hour of need. The verses you cling to in those times of challenge. The verses you might shout joyfully when it's time for celebration. Your life verse is that one verse you go to remind you of who God is and what God does and what God is capable of doing. We thank you for sending in your life verses the last couple of weeks. It's been very interesting and enjoyable to see the verses that you go to when you're in need of help, hope, encouragement, a spiritual lift, and the reasons why you choose those verses. And you know, these verses kind of fell into themes. So for today and the next 3 weeks, we'll share with you some of the life verses that were sent in and the themes that they represent. This morning, we'll be talking about the theme, God embraces you.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see you. Our mission is, say it with me, to connect people with Jesus and the new life he offers. That's what we're about. So I know that they hate this, but I just have to do it. So for Alan's surprise for this big one, our whole family, which it doesn't happen very often, is together. So Megan and Isabella and Adeline flew in yesterday. Ted will be coming tomorrow. And we're having a couple days of just all 19 of us together. And it's a really, really good time. But if you haven't seen Megan and the girls for a while, they're right over here. And
so just stand up, do a back handspring.
Yeah. So it is good to be together.
Megan loves this.
I know. The girl's like, do you have to do that? I'm like, yeah, we have to do that. So, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. It's a day that you've made, a day that you've called us to be together, set aside this morning to hear about you, to think about you, to pray to you, to glorify you, and to build each other up by being together, to sing, to lift our hearts. And so settle us in right where we are now, and those online that we could receive your word found in Scripture and be changed and transformed by it. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody agreed and said, amen.
Amen. So God embraces you. God embraces you. You are important to God. God cares, and God lets you know this by what he does for you. How God puts his arms around you and lets you know he's there. Lets you know that you don't have to worry. Lets you know that he's got you. He embraces you.
So the first verse that we're going to focus on as a life verse is one that has been my life verse for a long time, but that's not why we picked it. We picked it because several of you turned that in as your life verse as well. To give a little bit of context to this verse, we're going to be looking at Exodus 14:14, and the context is that the Hebrew people were enslaved for 400 years, and the Pharaoh finally said, okay, you're free to go. They would no longer be enslaved. And remember that there were a lot of things orchestrated by God with Pharaoh. There were the plagues, and the worst one being the death of the firstborn sons, the angel of death. And the Israelites were free. So they make their way out, and they're on their way to a new home, to a new land. And Pharaoh changes his mind. And he gathers his army and his chariots and everything that the Pharaoh had, and he begins to pursue the Israelites again. And God uses Moses throughout this whole time, and God tells Moses to head God's people, the Israelites, toward the Red Sea, and that the Egyptians will know that God is the Lord. There is something really big that's going to unfold.
So Pharaoh took 600, imagine that, 600 of his best chariots, along with horses, along with other chariots and horses, but 600 of his best. He took his officers, he took his troops, and he pursued the Israelites. And as Pharaoh's army approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians coming after them. Now they're backed up to the Red Sea. God had told Moses, take them to the Red Sea, so that there's no way there. From behind, they're coming. They're hemmed in. They're hemmed in, and they are terrified. Well, wouldn't you be? Terrified. And they cried out to the Lord, Exodus 14, 11 through 12. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Of course, they remember that. I don't know if they really said that, but that's what they remember now. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert.
Well, no wonder the Israelites were terrified. They were backed up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was coming at them. There was no way out. There was nowhere to go, and they were hopeless, or so it seemed. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And now here's the life verse. Say it with me. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still.
Do not be afraid. Stand firm. Deliverance. Is Moses kidding here? You know, there's no way out. There's the sea, there's the army, front and back. They're hemmed in. The Lord will fight for us. We only need to be still. And the answer is yes. A resounding yes. Yes, yes, yes. The Lord has vision far beyond what we have. The Lord has power far beyond what we have.
So I'm so glad that some of you have the same life verse that I have. Well, I have about 500.
Well, you could say that to like everybody.
I know. But this one has been important to me for like 15 years. I was in a season a long, long time ago where God was asking me to do something. And I was very excited about that something that I was being asked to do. But then some circumstances happened and I became very uncomfortable about doing what God was asking me to do. And there were a lot of legitimate reasons why. And so after prayer, I made up my mind that the timing was off. I didn't like say no, I just said the timing is off. So one Sunday, you know, a long time ago, we were on Green Street. I was up preaching. We were sharing this verse in Exodus 14, this whole section in Exodus 14. And I'm reading the screen, and I get to the words, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And I'm telling you, if the words could have come off the screen and knocked me down on the floor, that's how powerful it was. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I heard in my head a voice saying, it's not about you, Carrie. It's about the mission. So I thought, okay, the Lord will fight for me. I only need to be still. The being still doesn't mean sitting in a chair and, you know, still. It means feeling secure in the promises of God. It means standing firm with God's promises. And so I did go through the doors that God was asking me to do. And I'm not saying it was easy, but I did. And I saw months later the whole purpose for it. And God revealed at that time, months later, why it was important for me to do what he was asking me to do. Because it really had kingdom implications. It had implications for our church. And so that is why that verse has stuck with me. It's on my wall in my office, like right in front of my face. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still.
Maybe you've been there a time or two. Now, maybe you weren't backed up against the Red Sea with the Pharaoh's army chariots pursuing you. But maybe in some, you were in some no way out dilemma of your own. The question is, what did you do? What did you do? Were you fearful or faithful? The Lord will fight for you. God uses Moses to part the Red Sea for the Israelites to pass through on dry ground and closed up on Pharaoh and the Egyptians who were following in pursuit. And as promised, the Egyptians that the Israelites saw that day, they never saw again. They only needed to be still and to let the Lord fight for them. This idea is echoed years later in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. This is somebody else's life verse that was sent in. He, God, says, "Be still and know that I am God." Isn't that just the most comforting thing you can? Be still and know that I am God. Wow. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. Say that with me. The Lord Almighty is with us. Say it again. The next one. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Amen.
It's so important to remember that when things appear hopeless, when things are out of control, and you know that can happen on a dime, when there seems to be no way out, when you're feeling alone and no one cares, everybody feels that at some point. Like, well, what about me? Nobody, does anybody really know what's going on in me? Does anybody really, really care? It sounds cliche, but it's not. God does. God cares. God embraces you. Doesn't it feel so good to get a nice hug? And so sometimes I just imagine that embrace by God. It's so comforting. It's so peaceful. And so we need to be still and know that God is God and that God's got you.
So our second verse for the morning closely follows our first verse, thematically speaking. We find this verse in Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah had warned the Israelites of what was coming due to their turning away from the Lord, but they didn't listen. That's a constant theme through the Old Testament, isn't it? Them turning from the Lord, somebody tell them to get on board, and them continuing to ignore. So as a result, Babylon conquered Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and they exported many of the best and brightest off to Babylon.
And so many of the exiles were harboring thoughts of rebellion against the Babylonians. And there were false prophets that spread lies, and that's another theme in the Old Testament, actually even today, false prophets that spread lies. But what they were saying is that their days were numbered, and that the exiles were going to be coming home soon. That was not the case. The word of the Lord told Jeremiah that it would be another 70 years, that it was not short-lived. In fact, that meant that a lot of the exiles would never return home. You know, they would end up dying exiled. So here's what the Lord shared to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah shared to God's people.
This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, said to all those he carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Now, this is contrary to what the Hebrew people have always been. They've always been kind of with their own people, right? They've gone someplace else, especially the hated Babylonians. The last thing they want to do is settle in. They want to get home. And here the Lord's telling them, build houses, settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. And now the real bonus is this, marry and have sons and daughters. Are you kidding me? With those guys? Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. And they're not meaning just to the Hebrew people who were exported also. Intermingle, join them. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Next page, please.
That's it.
Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. You think those people are thinking peace and prosperity on the Babylonians? No, but that's what they're being told. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. See, there were false prophets, as Carey said. They were those who were telling them lies, telling them falsehoods, telling them what appeared to be prophecies, but they weren't from God. There were diviners, there were supposed spiritual leaders who were not spiritual at all, at least of the Lord. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They're prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. There you go.
So this scripture is really interesting, because what God is telling God's people is to embrace the situation. As bad as it is, embrace the situation. Go ahead and build houses, settle down, get married, have kids, seek peace, prosperity. That, you know, that's very different from them setting up tents, taking down tents, being on the move, you know. Settle in. Embrace the situation. He says, don't listen to those false prophets. I didn't send them to you. They are not speaking for me.
And then God continues to speak through Jeremiah, through the letter the prophet wrote. This is Jeremiah 29, 10 through 11. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed, remember we said 70 years, there's that magic number, 70 years completed for Babylon, I will come to you.
70, that's interesting.
Huh?
70.
It's a great number, isn't it? Let's have it for 70, yeah. Well, thank you very much, thank you. Okay. I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. I haven't abandoned you. I haven't forgotten you. I've embraced you. I'm gonna bring you back, but you need to spend a little time, because you got some things to learn, and it's gonna take all of 70 years for that to happen. And here's the life verse, verse 11. God says this, for I know the plans I have for you. Wow. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And this is what they are. Plans to, not to tear you down, to forget you and ignore you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. There's that word, hope. Hope. With 70 years ahead, you don't know what's going to happen. Plans to give you hope and a future. Say it with me. Hope and a future. Yeah.
So that God does promise that when 70 years up, he will return his people back to where they came from. And, you know, by the time 70 years is up, people could get pretty entrenched. I mean, he says build houses and settle down. So people get entrenched. And
that's a long time, isn't it? 70 years.
It's, you know, generations. It's a couple generations. But God fulfills his promise. And after 70 years, King Cyrus of Persia conquered Babylon, and the Israelites were allowed to return home. And by the time this letter got there, the word from God serves as a reminder. It's a reminder that the people, even though they felt maybe forgotten, they felt exiled, they had been rebellious, that the Lord had not forgotten them, that the Lord was with them always, that the Lord, in fact, embraces them, that they are his. And that's such a good word for us as well. Such a good word. Reminding them that there is a hope and a future for them. There is prosperity for them. That the plan is to not harm them, but give them a hope and a future.
Mm-hmm. So are there times when you need to be reminded that God has plans for you? That God isn't here to harm you, to bring bad upon you. That God has plans to give you hope and a future. It's important to remember at all times, especially when the future looks kind of grim, looks kind of dark, looks kind of foreboding. It's important to have this verse at your finger, in your back pocket, at your fingertips, maybe on the very tip of your lips there, to have it ready to share. Say it with me, will you? Do we have it up on the screen? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Wow.
You know, we often use this when people are graduating from high school or graduating from college. It's on all the Hallmark cards. But we all go through seasons of life. And even when we're 70 or 80 or 90, this verse rings true. Because God has plans for all of us, no matter where and what season we're in. Plans for a hope. For hope. We never need to lose hope for future. So today, our last life verse comes from the book of Isaiah. All these have been Old Testament verses. Next week, we'll use some New Testament verses. But this one is from Isaiah. And Isaiah lived 200 years before the Babylonian exile. Now, at the time, Israel still had its challenges. I mean, they were in a constant state of war. I mean, isn't that still happening? Absolutely. Assyria had been on the attack of Jerusalem. There came to a point where the siege was lifted, and there seemed to be, you know, some quiet, and maybe there was some victory, but it really wasn't. It was just a postponement for the next time. Nothing had changed. Isaiah, you know, being God speaking to and through Isaiah, he could see the day coming where Jerusalem would be overtaken, Jerusalem would fall again, and what God had in store. And so Isaiah offers God's prophecy of what's coming both near and what's coming in the distant future. And for the next 200 years, the residents of Jerusalem are on this constant lookout based on what Isaiah is saying, this constant lookout for attack. And as the countries around them kind of align and conspire to bring them down.
So in chapter 41 of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, God, through the prophet Isaiah, he offers assurance that God cares for Israel, that God assures the people that he is there for them, that God embraces them. Isaiah 41, 8 through 11, this is the New International Version. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took from you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Now here's the life verse, verse 10. Say it with me if you will. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that just a glorious scripture, giving you hope and strength and encouragement?
So do not fear. We see that in so many Old Testament passages, you know, have courage, be bold, do not fear. But we also see it throughout the New Testament too. Don't fear. I will be with you. I will hold you up. And so maybe at times you might feel surrounded by people or situations, and it just feels like it feels terrible. It feels hopeless, and maybe even causes fear in you. But the Lord says, fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with us. With the Lord with us, we cannot fail. The Lord upholds us with his righteous right hand. If you're in a season of fear, you know, close your eyes. You know, think about being held or embraced, or, you know, his righteous right hand just keeping you balanced, you know, instead of being knocked to and fro, just that centering. Because we really do have nothing to fear. The Lord is with us.
And so these life verses remind us that God embraces us, that God embraces you. God will fight for you. You need only to be still. God has plans for you, to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future. You should not fear through this, because God is with you. Say, God is with me.
God is with me.
Now say it with all your soul.
God is with me.
You know, God's greatest embrace came on that hill called Calvary, where he released Jesus, allowed him to be killed, to die, to go to the land of the dead for 3 days, and to take your sins and mine along with him. God the Father embraced him once again on the third day as Jesus rose from the dead. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15:55 says. Where, O death, is your victory? Because we don't see it, do we, when Christ rises? Where, O death, is your sting? It ain't. It ain't.
So we sang this morning a song called Highlands. It's a song of ascent, you know, climbing toward Jesus, looking toward Jesus. The words were, you know, I will praise you on the mountains, and I will praise you when the mountains in my way. You know, through the resurrection, Jesus Christ overcame death itself for you and for me. And so we are in good hands. We have nothing to fear because we have life and life eternal because of what he did for us. He knew that we would have times when we would have anxiety and have fear and feel like we're on shaky ground. And so this book is full of encouragement and ways to order our steps. He also gave us things like worship so that we could be together and encourage one another. That helps us do this life together. And then he gave us the sacraments, Holy Communion, baptism, signs of life. And so this morning we'll celebrate one of those sacraments, the sacrament of Holy Communion, tangible bread representing his body and juice representing the blood.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.